Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
All right, Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show. Before we get into the topic, and by the way, you can start calling in on it now. It is Good Friday for Christians. This evening will mark the beginning of Passover, which runs until tomorrow evening. And, of course, Sunday is Easter Sunday. And then Monday, of course, is Dingus Day, which may be the most important holiday of all. It is definitely ecumenical. So do you believe? Yes, we did this the other day, but we started it way too late because there was such tremendous interest in the topic that we said, hey, we screwed up. We should have started it earlier. Do you believe in God? Maybe you are an atheist, and if you believe in God, like, what kind of God do you believe in? Maybe you can believe, well, I mean, there's so many different denominations within Christianity, even. There's so many different sects within Christianity, and Judaism and Islam. I mean, that to me is fascinating because, you know, one person's definition of what a Muslim is going to be different than another definition of what a Muslim is, depending on whom you ask and what sect it is to which they adhere. Same thing with Christianity. Any given day, you can see how many different denominations of Christian churches. You can see Catholic churches, you can see Lutheran churches, Episcopal churches, Anglican churches, and the list goes on. I don't even have time to read the entire list. So what is your belief system? How did you get there? Would especially love to hear from those of you who have converted. Maybe you were an atheist but now are a holy roller. Maybe you were a holy roller and now you are an atheist. Walk us through your personal thought process. And of course, the ultimate question on Good Friday, David, does the Broadway market exist or is it a myth?
Well, I just got a bunch of text messages here, 30930. Someone said they just left the Broadway market, wall-to-wall shoppers, 4 out of 5 bars on their T-Mobile phone, lots of vendors using the Square or their credit card apps. Go on to say that they ran into Caputo out there.
Really? But, and it was all photographed by the FBI, which is even more bizarre.
This actually is the FBI sending this text message. But they were also, Alan said they closed the road down, so... That's it's obviously
a mob scene.
Yeah, people are going crazy out there. But again, that's what happens Easter. You get that lamb, that butter lamb, and you go to Broadway Market. I just have never been a part of that. Never been my tradition.
Oh, there is a special feeling in Polonia. Now, the Broadway Market has never been a part of my celebrating Easter or anything like that. But I will tell you that on Dingus days gone by, spent a lot of time in Polonia at the various Polish places taking part in the Dingus Day festivities. Everybody can agree that Dingus Day exists.
Right.
Let's go to some calls on WBEN, and it is Travis in Depew. Travis, you are on. Hello.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Sir.
Go
right ahead.
You okay?
Yep. Hey, we can actually hear you, which is actually a bonus given today.
All right, so yeah, basically, growing up, both my parents were religious, but they never tried to press their beliefs on any of us growing up. And through childhood experiences growing up, I started out an atheist. I didn't think there was any way that God could exist with the things that I had experienced growing up. But as I grew older, I had multiple experiences that led me to believe the exact opposite. I was really withdrawn as a kid. I had some family deaths that had really affected me negatively. And I started drinking at a young age.
So were the personal tragedies the kind of thing that made you ask yourself the question, why should I believe in a caring, loving God when he's allowing this to happen to me and the people about whom I care?
Exactly. Like growing up, my grandfather was more important to me than my parents or my own life. I loved him more than anything else. And, he was, a real devout Christian, and they used to go to church all the time. And I'd spend weeks with him on end during the summer growing up. And then when I was almost six, he fell off the first step of a ladder just trying to change a light bulb and hit his head on the concrete and died.
Oh, good heavens. That's horrible.
Yeah, and so there's multiple things like that, you know, good, upstanding citizens, great people, Christians, went to church all the time, dying for silly reasons. I grew up thinking, how could God exist? So I was a really withdrawn kid growing up. I started drinking at a really young age. I actually ended up in the hospital when I was 14. I actually blew a .46, and the doctors didn't know why I was alive.
A .46? That's off the charts, bro.
Yeah, I drank an entire half gallon 100-proof Southern Comfort in 20 minutes.
I can't argue with your choice of beverages, but the amount of beverages is the concern. Don't feel too bad. I ended up in the hospital with alcohol poisoning on New Year's Eve 2017, or 2018, I believe it was, and I only blew a .18, or that was the blood alcohol, according to the blood test, was a .18. So I was a small timer, and I will tell you exactly what happened, just in case somebody gets the wrong idea, and they usually do. I just had my surgery about 3 weeks before New Year's Eve, and I was depleted. I was anemic. So the amount of booze I would usually drink that wouldn't do anything to me made me absolutely miserable and resulted in a very unpleasant evening being spent at Millard Fillmore Suburban Hospital. Not unpleasant because of the hospital, but unpleasant because, you know, the room was spinning and I couldn't find the floor.
So
what turned things around for you?
Probably the biggest thing. I mean, there is a whole chain of events. Probably the biggest two things were I moved out of state for college when I was 17, and it was a 500-mile drive for me to get home. I was coming home one weekend, and out of nowhere, I looked down, and I'm running on fumes going through the mountains in Pennsylvania. No clue where I am back in the days of Yahoo Maps. And so I took the first exit, not having a clue where I was or if I was going to be able to find a gas station. I got off. I was way up on the mountainside, so I had to go under the highway and come out on the other side on a real sheer cliff pretty much. And there's a little road that ran along it. So I pull out from under the bridge, I look up, the light's red, and as I look up, it was the most insane fire engine red, cherry red sunset that you could imagine, just taking up the whole sky. So I look in my mirror, there's nobody behind me. I look back up at the light just turned green. I'm like, well, I've never seen a sunset like this, so I'm going to sit here for a second and enjoy it. And as soon as I thought that, a full-size, you know, extended cab pickup truck, same bright red color as the sunset, barrels through what would have been the red light. They would have T-boned me right in the driver's side door if I would have pulled out when the light turned green. Probably would have killed me instantly. And that shook me up. I looked around like, what?
So do you think, as Samuel L. Jackson said in Pulp Fiction, do you think that what you witnessed was an honest-to-God, according to Hoyle, miracle?
Well,
admit that what happened here was a miracle, Vincent.
Sky, and there was no sunset.
Say that again. I was yelling.
So after the truck barreled through the intersection and scared the bejesus out of me, I looked back up at the sky, and there was no sunset.
Wow. So was it a miracle?
I can't think of anything else.
So, all right, you went from being an atheist to believing in what following this experience?
I would consider myself a Christian, but not really in your standard sense. You know, I pray all the time. I thank God for all the gifts I've been given. Most of my life, for lack of a better term, and to, you know, be on the air friendly, was most of my life was I was dragged through the gutter. And just, you know, one series of event after another made me realize that, you know, all the stuff that made me think that God couldn't exist growing up did nothing but make me stronger.
All right. We got to move on to some other folks. We're glad you called in, Travis. Thank you very much. Do you believe in God? We did this the other day, but it's Good Friday today and Passover later, and then Easter Sunday is coming up, and we wanted to bring it back because so many people were disappointed the other day they couldn't get on the air. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And remember, if you believe in God and you don't call in to tell us that you believe in God, you are going to spend eternity in hell. I just thought I would let you know that in advance. Here is Dale. Remember, you have to make the effort, or God, because God is watching, and God is going to wonder why you didn't give him props when you had the chance. Here is Dale in Cheektowaga on WBEN. Hi, Dale. Dale, you're on. Hello. All right. This is, again, one of those weird situations. Apparently, Dale was not with us and is not with us. David, I don't think it has been it has been so long since we've had a show where you don't know if anything is going to work from minute to minute. It's kind of harrowing, and we apologize to you guys listening that we just can't seem to pull it together today technically.
It's a holiday. You know, people are probably running around in their cars waiting to come home from the Broadway market. Maybe you're in traffic and you're sitting around and you're thinking, you know, I wanted to hear what Dale had to say about God. I was waiting to make a personal decision about Jesus Christ only until I heard what Dale had to say afterwards.
Exactly.
And now, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Exactly. Now, it has been that kind of a day. I don't know what that says, David, about it's got to be me because, I mean, you're definitely in good standing with God, and it's got to be, this has got to be some kind of punishment for me.
But today really is one of the holiest days in the Christian faith. And I remember, like, the fasting that would go on. I believe the traditional crucifixion ended, I mean, the way that it would be honored was that you fasted for the time that Christ was on the cross until the resurrection. So there would be, you know, from 3 o'clock on Friday, you didn't eat until Sunday. And that was a really big deal growing up. I mean, it was, you know, there was not a lot of, you know, you focused on that. Now, there have been so many movies that have been made where in the old days, you know, you read a book or you tried to read something having to do with that time. But now with the Mel Gibson Passion of the Christ, I mean, that film is so violent.
And so passionate.
But it is super violent. Like, you can't just take your... I mean, it would be great to sit down and be like, hey, let's watch the Passion of the Christ with a 9 or a 10-year-old. But it is so over the top that it's very disturbing. But then again, I mean, the crucifixion is meant to be disturbing. It incredible sacrifice, what he endured and whatnot. But there are traditionally really good, like the Jesus of Nazareth was the old one made in the 70s. There was a couple other.
There was
films.
An era where Jesus always had a British accent.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I think it was Max von, what was his name? Jesus of Nazareth, but I think the greatest story ever told.
Yeah,
there were two really good, but they would always play it, you know, before cable. They'd always play it on like Channel 2 or Channel 4 Easter time. You would get, you know, to be able to watch that on Good Friday and Saturday before Easter. So
now let's go to Dale in Cheektowaga. Dale, you are on WBEN.
Yes, how you doing?
We just said a prayer. We'd be able to hear you.
All right. Now, the thing is about the religion and all that type of thing, I believe that even though we pass away, I believe our souls continue on. Our bodies are only rented. It might sound corny. What do you think?
No, I mean, that's traditionally people that believe in heaven or, you know, in a hereafter believe that.
They have some form of faith.
Right, but what you're saying, I think many religious people agree with.
I will assure you, I did not rent this body, or else I would definitely want a refund. There's no way I'm paying for it. I'm absolutely. I am not even kidding. There's no way. If we're at a, you know, Bodies Are Us store, my body would have been the last one I would have chosen. I would have chosen Ron Jeremy's, but no.
But would you have a choice?
Well, if you know, operating on the thesis that it's rented, but I do understand what you're saying, and your basic and fundamental point is that what we really are bundles of energy. Energy does not go away; it is eternal. Therefore, when the shell of basically, we're just living in a meat suit, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I can't really disagree with you, but the question to me is, well, what happens to the energy after our earthly bodies pass away, like I think Bob Dylan's did many years ago?
Well, like you say, Bob Dylan is different because lyrical-wise, he's a genius, you know?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Some of his albums, of course, better than others.
If
but,
this was the silent film era, he would still be a genius.
524, do you believe in God? We'd especially love to hear from people who have undergone some kind of a religious conversion in their lives, because I find those people fascinating. And if you missed it earlier, we had on with us Barry Schwartz, who is the world's leading authority on the Shroud of Turin. And the bottom line takeaway is, this guy, who is Jewish, I want to emphasize that, this guy who is Jewish has come to the conclusion, along with his mom, that the Shroud of Turin absolutely, positively is the burial shroud of Jesus Christ. Now, that is what a guy said who has been studying it for 40 years. You can check out his website at shroud.com. But if the leading and foremost authority on the Shroud of Turin says that he believes it is the real deal, I think that is, I think it is significant. Obviously, I would like additional opinions. Obviously, I'd like, you know, additional corroboration, because that's just the way I am. But I thought you might be interested in knowing what he had to say if you missed it. And you can certainly listen to the interview if you go to WBEN.com, the audio on demand area of our website. It is. All right, Bowerly and Bellavia. Oh, a little song from Pulp Fiction. I was hoping for this one. Thank you very much. Although, Son of a Preacher Man ain't bad either. Dusty Springfield. Vincent? All right. Hey, did you see a sign? Did you see a sign at the end of my driveway? Sorry. Come on. The Bonnie Situation.
Oh, I know
Pulp
what
Fiction. Come on. Quentin Tarantino. All right. It is Bowerly and Bellavia. Do you believe in God? Yes, we did this the other day, and we started it too late, so people were very upset. Here is, Roy in Boston on WBEN. Roy, what is your particular faith, sir?
I am a Bible-believing Christian, and my belief in God was reinforced by the number of biblical prophecies I have seen taking place in my lifetime. For example, Israel becoming a nation again in one day, the rise of the Roman Empire, which is the European Union, drug addiction, inflation, decapitation of Christians, the rise in occult practices, the promotion of a one-world government through regional governments, promotion of...
Where is that, forgive me, but where is that one-world government mentioned in the Bible?
Well, you can read the book of Daniel and Revelation.
Do they specifically say one world government, or do they use some other phrase?
Well, they use...
I'm not trying to be a wise guy. I just don't remember hearing that or reading that in the Bible.
No, they use other phrases, but it means the same thing. You know, it's not hard to miss.
I mean, they're not metaphors for something else. I mean, because, you know, I remember people way back in the 1970s talking about certain places as absolutely positively representing East Germany and Russia. And, you know, it turns out that East Germany doesn't even exist anymore and certainly didn't invade anybody. Was it Gog and Magog? I forget.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is a lot of symbolism because things have not come to pass at the time it was written. For example, let's say the Bible wanted to talk about a certain country. Well, let's say America, for example. Well, obviously the continental, North American continent existed, but America did not. So if they wanted to talk about America, they would use a symbol, the eagle, or Russia, the bear, or England, the lion, or France, the rooster. So, you know, things that have not... Well, for example, if you were a prophet living 2,000-3,000 years ago, and you were shown a vision of modern-day warfare, and you saw a guided missile being launched, you have no idea what it was.
See, here we come into one of the problems, because you say, well, the eagle represents the United States. I always thought the eagle represented Rome.
I'm talking about future prophecies. You know, that was then, and, you know, the future is the future, so things have changed.
Okay, so what made you believe the way you do?
Well, you know,
other than that, Did you have, like, for example, a period in your life that was especially bad? Have you always believed the way you do? Is it something that you came to after reading, after much study? Put us in the picture that way.
Well, I was raised a Catholic, and I was suspicious of a few things that were going on. So I started reading the Bible, and I've been reading and studying the Bible for over 40 years. And, after you go through it numerous times, you every time you go through it, you pick up more details. And, because one part of Scripture will explain another part of Scripture. Okay?
Okay, I think we got you. Thank you very much for the call. Do you believe in God, and how did you get there? On News Radio 930 WBEN 803, and also, does the Broadway market exist? Here is Mike in Lancaster on WBEN. Hello.
How you doing, Tim?
Sir.
Yeah, I want to thank your partner for his service. I'm a non-veteran, too.
Welcome home.
Okay, buddy.
Appreciate that. I love my Vietnam vets.
I'll make this a little shorter if I can. I'm going to talk about my mom. My mom was probably the toughest person I've ever known. She had all kind of courage. Nothing scared her. Well, she got cancer, and she was staying with my sister and my brother-in-law, and they were both good born-again Christians. And they were trying to witness to my mom, and she's agnostic. She didn't want to hear nothing. She was on her deathbed. She probably had about 3 weeks to go. Well, anyways, the one night, late at night, Tom hears his screaming, so he runs into the bedroom. My mom's in there, and she's shaking. My mom, nothing ever scared my mom. And Tom goes, "What's the matter, Gene? What's going on?" She goes, "Tom, I had the worst nightmare I've ever had. I dreamed I was a hell, and I don't want to have nothing to do with it. What do I have to do to be saved?" And my mom come around to Jesus and God that night. And about two, 3 weeks later, she passed away.
You know, it's funny how a lot of times you hear that story. Someone's at the end of their life, and, you know, they're looking what's on the other side. Being an agnostic or an atheist, you know, really, there's no real gamble in that until you're actually facing the great unknown. And a lot of people, you know, they always hear about, like, the deathbed confession, the deathbed conversion. There are people that go into hospitals all the time, pastors and just regular Christians, and they walk around, and the people are in need, and they're looking to hold on to something. And it's a really beautiful thing when you can take that element of fear away, because once that fear is gone, the fight is still there. They obviously, they're succumbing to their illness and their body's breaking down. But once you relieve them of that, what's going to happen on the other side, you really start to see that that's just letting go. It's not, you're not afraid anymore.
On the other hand, David, there was a guy at the hospital before my heart surgery, one of the pastors or something, a gigantic pain in the ass, who could not take no for an answer. I specifically said I did not wish to see him, and he continued to try to get into my room. It's like, dude, perhaps you didn't hear me the first five times I mentioned it. I have no interest in talking to you.
Well, you know, I don't know what the situation was at the cardiac.
The situation is he was a pain in the ass.
Right, but I don't know what the cardiac situation is, but when you're terminally ill, and you know, you have a lot of people that are going through, you know, they want to say goodbye to everyone, they have regret, they're human beings, they've all going through what they're going through, but now there's this cloud of what's gonna happen, what's even on the other side, what am I gonna do? Relieving someone of that, it's a special thing. A lot of people they rely on that. Those chaplains serve a huge cause.
I'm sure they do. In my case, absolutely not needed, unnecessary, and quite frankly, unwanted.
So when your mother eventually passed away, Mike, you found that fear was gone.
Well, I just thank the Lord, because I was raised Catholic, but I'm a born again now.
Right.
And we were just happy that she'd come around to the Lord.
But, I mean, she wasn't scared anymore after she made that decision?
No, my mom was a tough lady. I mean, she could fish with the best of them.
But she was not scared. I mean, unlike the nightmare she had, she was not scared. That particular fear left her?
No, but after that, she said it was really, it shook her up. So that's a true story, guys. So
all right.
Chill out.
Thank you very much for the call. You know, David, the thing, I'm a little confused as well. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. We've got a couple of lines open for you. And if you believe and don't call, God is going to smite you. I have that on very good authority. These voices
what do you
in my
think
head.
About, what do you think about that, though? Like the idea that, you know, people that are, you always hear the term God-fearing.
Right.
You know, and it's, there are people that.
I think it's stupid.
But no, but I'm saying that there are people that are religious because they want a personal relationship. They want to feel unconditional love. They believe in the sacrifice, the message of salvation and going, you know, having a life that's eternal. And then there are some people that are just like, you know what? This is the most powerful being, you know, that created everyone. I have no choice but to submit because it's so powerful. This God, I just do it because I'm a lowly human.
See, it's interesting because I do not fear God. How could I possibly fear somebody who is all about love? Okay, if we're going to talk about the New Testament, why would I possibly be afraid of an entity that loves me so much that created me? I respect God, and more importantly, I believe that, you know, I say this every time this comes up, but that his will should be done. And whatever his will is, I think the essence of any kind of faith in God is having the maturity to accept what his will is as I do. I don't fear him. And I also, I'm not sold on the idea of hell because, I mean, think about this in your own life. Your kids, you know, if we're all children of God and we stray and do some really sinful things, some awesome, delicious, sinful things that feel great, okay? So we do some of these things. Are we really going to go to eternity of hell because we were fallible human beings created that way? And I can't think of anything that my kids would do to me that would make me want them to suffer in writhing agony for all of eternity.
I don't think we're talking about the same definition of fear. I'm not saying that you fear God because he's going to, you know, jump out of a alley and stab you in the neck. I'm saying that it's
he might.
No, but it's a respect. It's a reverence. It's a, you know, what holiness means. You know, in the Old Testament, they talk about, you know, Moses had to take his shoes off in the presence of God. It was, you know, they wouldn't, what was God's name? You couldn't even hear it. It was because it would blow your head apart because it was just, that's how powerful, that's the reverence and the holiness of it. And so, you know, they had a whole different, you know, there was a room in the holiest of holies that you, a layman couldn't even walk into. You were just not worthy of that. So I look at that fear of God and God fearing being that it's an unworthiness.
Oh yeah,
you know, not that it's it.
No, in that case, you know what? In that case, I agree 100% with what you are saying. But you know, it is more of, I mean, like to me, I think the ultimate,
it was like I fear God. Like
I fear God, you know, is going to choke me to death in an alley and then chop my head off and do things to this. No, not that way. But no. In all seriousness, I think that. You know, like when I say this, sometimes I think people either get bored or they get angry. But my only prayer is thy will be done, because that is part of what the Lord's Prayer is that Jesus spoke, number one. Number two, to me, what I pray is the ultimate act of faith. It is the ultimate act of being obsequious to the Creator. In other words, you know what? I have to accept. As a grown-up, I have to accept anything you throw my way, and I have to accept it without getting upset with you, and your will be done. Who can argue with that?
Well, the thing with that, though, is that what if you know, you're being asked to do something that, you know, it's like sell all your things and join a Christian rock band. You know, now it's kind of like, well, whose will is that?
Well,
I don't really want to do that. And if you look at all the prophets in the Old Testament, they're all asked to do things that they don't want to do. Peter,
leave your job.
Seriously, Peter's like, I got a good thing going here. And then this Jesus guy shows up, and all of a sudden, my whole life. I mean, people forget what happened to the disciples. Their lives were absolutely destroyed because of that relationship. And once Christ is crucified and resurrects, now all those guys are on a hit list. I mean, they're everywhere they go. I mean, Peter famously says that he doesn't want to be killed in the same manner that his Savior is killed.
Right, so he was not worthy of it.
That's right. So he's literally put upside down and crucified. You've got the conversion of Saul, who then becomes Paul, and you know, he literally was killing Christians.
That's an amazing story. If you think about it, you can talk all about being in the desert. You can talk all. I mean, there might very well have been not just a religious and spiritual component to his conversion, but also a scientific element to his going blind under such conditions in the Middle East. You've been there.
With Damascus, yeah, that road.
To Damascus.
That's right.
So it is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. Do you believe in God the Almighty? Today is Good Friday. Tonight, this evening, marks the beginning of Passover. Tomorrow ends Passover, tomorrow evening. And then on Sunday, of course, it will be Easter Sunday. But as far as, you know, the legendary, we can call them legendary people from the Bible. I mean, it is filled, when you read it, it is filled with so many amazing personalities. Even if you looked at it as a secular book, not inspired in the least by God, even if you looked at it as literature, it is some of the best literature, David, I think that you would ever want to read. And no, I'm not saying it's only literature. I'm just saying that even if you only considered its secular components, it is a pretty amazing book.
Well, you brought up Paul, and there really is the blueprint of Christianity is really written by Paul. When you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's a historic, each one of them have a different vantage point in their stories. But again, you've got, you know, a historian look, you've got someone who's looking at things almost at the organizational side of how these events took place. But it's really Paul who wasn't even there when Christ, he was never witness to any of the acts that Christ had when he was, alive. And yet all of the messages of, what it means to be a Christian really comes from the teachings of Paul and those letters that he wrote to all the other Christian churches.
Which is absolutely amazing because, as you pointed out, his job was, he was tasked with destroying Christianity. He was tasked with destroying the cult of Christianity and had this remarkable conversion on the road to Damascus and then became one of the leading proponents of Christianity. And, of course, at first, I think it's safe to say the disciples didn't exactly trust the guy who'd been tearing them apart.
Well, there's that. I think
there's that. There is.
Well, no, I mean that's a tough thing. Is it, Paul at the time was you have a mission, you have a job, but you also saw a lot of those conversions too with the centurions and the tribunal guys, the folks that were, if you're executing people and you see that they're just fearless and they realize that there's something that they're dying for, the martyrs of the early church, that does affect your life. You're like, well, I'd be horrified if someone was going to cut my head off because of what I believed. And here's a person that just sits there calmly and says, whatever you're going to do, go ahead and do it. It doesn't concern me. You might want some of that. You might want to know, what does this person have that I don't have?
David, obviously, you're a highly decorated war hero. You've been in foxholes. Is it true in your experience that there are no atheists in foxholes, or do you think that is an outdated expression that people didn't have sudden conversions during moments of extreme combat?
I had a guy who literally wrote on his knuckles the F word and God on both hands, and he got his dog tags, and somehow he was able to put Satan on his dog tag. I mean, this was a kid that was, had some anger issues, but he went all the way against, just to whatever he could do to shock us. That was his thing. And I remember we had a really bad night, and as he was, packing up his gear, a New Testament fell out. And I was like, hey, you don't need this. What do you got?
What was he doing with a New Testament?
What are you doing with a New Testament? I thought Lucifer was your guiding light. No, he converted, absolutely, because he grew up. This was a
wow.
But what are you going to do when the great hero? There's such a bland oblivion with death. It's when you see it enough, you're around it, and you're basically saying, look, I mean, there's got to be something, because otherwise I don't know if you can maintain. I don't know if you could do your job every day if you lived in a constant fear of a random bullet, an IED, or an artillery round landing on your head. There's got to be something that just you wipe that clear and you just say, look, this is what, you know, in my brain, this is what's going to go down. And I saw tons of people that said they didn't believe at all, and they certainly did at the end of that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.